The laws, I'm putting you all on mute. I hear some background noise. One second.
Okay.
All right, you all on mute now. Now let's discuss today the laws of the Peah Sarash. We went through yesterday a lot of the basics. Let's look at some pictures. See, this we can do. We couldn't do this in a regular show. We only can do this with Zoom. Okay, a special Zoom share. I'm going to bring up on the screen one picture at a time and we'll discuss it. Images. I'm looking at my camera. Okay. Oh no, the upside down the pictures. Uh-oh. This may be a very big problem. I have a lot of pictures and I think they're all upside down. All right, give me a second. Let me try to figure out how to do this. Let's figure this out. I'll turn the camera upside down. Let's try this. Let's try it like this. Maybe I have a better idea. Why doesn't everyone in the share turn upside down? Mark, stand on your head. If you stand on your head, you'll be able to see the pictures. Uh-oh, this is no good. All right, so stay with me. We're gonna figure this out. We're gonna get the pictures the right way. Okay, we're just gonna have to edit the pictures. One second. How can I turn?
We'll just use a little Vimeo here.
No, I want to. All right, it's not all
that
bad. Okay, let me see if I, let me just try very quickly if I can figure out a way to do it. If not, we'll have to just do it upside down. Okay, I'm gonna try the best that I can to fix the picture. Let's see if we can do that. I'm going to go to gallery. I'm going to go to the pictures. Camera. Okay. Yeah, they're all upside down, even in the camera. How did that happen? All right. Let's see if I can fix the pictures very quickly. All right. Here's the first picture. Edit. Edit the picture. New. Oh, it has to load first. Whoops. What's that? Oh, okay. Got it.
Is this going to be an advertisement for the Hasidic community to come join us?
Absolutely not. I don't think they would tolerate me. Okay, let us now try at least one picture right side up. Okay, let's go back. I'm working here the best that I can. I'm getting there. One second. Zoom. All right, let's at least try one picture.
Rabbi?
Yes. I know, but I don't know if I can do it. I'm on the phone. I can probably on the computer. I'm on the computer, so I'm on a phone. On the phone, I'm much more limited what I can do. Okay, now when we talk about the Peos, there are five things we have to discuss. Okay, there are five different parts of the Peos, the Shiurim. Number one is the uppermost part of the Peah. Number two is the bottom. How far does the Peah have to go? Number three is the left. And this fellow that we're looking at, this Hasidic fellow, we're looking at the left. How thick? How thick? How far to the left? And number four is to the right. In this example, part of the hair is covering. It's so thick, it's covering his ear. And number five is the length. Obviously, we don't have pears like this. We don't let it grow like this. We cut it. How long, what is the length of the minimum length that we must allow the peah, that we're not allowed to cut? So let's do one thing at a time. This is an excellent, excellent, super picture. It illustrates the uppermost portion of the peah. Now in this picture, if you see, there's a line. Someone drew a line from the top of the ear to the hairline, the natural hairline on the forehead. Anything below that line is called in the Torah the peyos harosh. Anything above that line, according to most opinions, not according to all, but we're not focused on most opinions, is not in halacha called the peyos harosh. Now let's understand, there's an iser d'oraisa for a person to remove the peyos harosh. The peyos harosh are much, much more chomor than the beard. The beard, we know that you're permitted to remove the beard entirely as long as it's not done through a giluach sheyesh boy hashchasa. We spent the whole day on this yesterday. What is called the giluach sheyesh boy hashchasa? A shaving, a destructive form of shaving. So we yesterday came out lemaskana for us here in this, all of us in our virtual shir, who all of us, I assume, shave. We use a regular shaver, and we hold that it's only forbidden to take a razor and to press a razor against your skin to sever the hair. The hair is severed through the combined pressure of a blade against the skin. And by the way, you know, it's not only a razor, it's not only metal. If someone will come up with a razor that's made from a synthetic material, plastic, it doesn't matter. The rule is if an implement of any material whatsoever, whether it's metal,
you use a razor, but you don't press it. If you're long beard, you don't press it against the skin. Are you allowed to do it?
As long as it's not pressing against the skin. When you shave, you're using a razor. Every shaver, every electric shaver is a razor. The only difference is the hair is being cut against the screen. It's scissor action. We, lahalacha, who are lenient in these matters, are of the understanding that when Chazal tell us that it's forbidden to do a hashchasa, a giluach, giluach means to shave, sheyesh by hashchasa, which includes a destructive act, is where a blade cuts a hair against the skin. In order for a hair to be severed, it needs pressure from two sides. One side is a utensil, an implement, which 99% of the time is a razor, metal, a piece of metal. And the other side is the skin. The combination of the razor pushing against the skin is what severs the hair. If you cut that hair with a scissors, so you're not using the skin as the second pressure point to sever the hair, two pieces of metal are working together to sever a hair. When you shave, the hair enters into a screen and a blade, a razor, cuts the hair against the inside of the screen. So the blade is not cutting against your skin. The blade is cutting against a metal screen. That is equivalent to a scissor action. That's called a giluach sheyesh. That's called giluach. That's not called a hashchasa. It's called a shading, but it's not called a hashchasa. Now here is the halacha. Now here is the issue.
Fix this so I can see him.
Okay. Now when it comes to the peyos, the Torah says loy sakifu. Do not create a circle around your head. Do not remove these peyos, period. They must remain there. Therefore, you're not allowed to take a shaver or a scissors for that matter and cut the peyos very, very close to your head. Even if you're not allowed to take a shaver and cut off the peyos. After you finish cutting, if you're even allowed to cut it all, it must remain. There must remain here in this section. And we have to define exactly where this section begins above, where this section ends below, where it extends to the left side, where it extends to the right side, and the length of the here. Now, the maskana, the rule is the here must be long enough for it to fold over onto itself. There are different expressions. We learned this from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, every single day, got a haircut. The hair on his head, not his pes, but each hair on his head was cut at a very specific length. It's not at all clear what this means. Halacha l'maisa, what Poskim say is approximately a half a centimeter. The hair in this section may not be cut less than a half a centimeter. When we shave with an electric shaver, we completely remove it. There's nothing left. But when the time we finish shaving, there's not even a mash. You can't even feel it. There's nothing even left. Then it's almost beneath the skin to get a good shave. But hopefully, you're not violating the halacha. Hopefully, the razor, the electric shaver is not cutting against your skin. It's cutting against the screen. But when everything is said and done, the length of the hair on your beard is much, much less than a half a centimeter. However, the peyos harosh, you're not allowed to cut each individual hair at a length that is less than a half a centimeter. Now, those who use these barber machines, they have a lot of different clips, a lot of different pieces, and they have numbers. And the number that they refer to is a number two. So you're not allowed to do anything. You're allowed to use a number two, but not a number one, and certainly not a zero. Okay, zeros, they take the actual blade against the skin. A one is, I don't know the measurements, but it's an industry standard of what the measurements are. The clip that they attach to a professional barber electric razor, it comes in numbers. It goes all the way up to 10, I think, and they each have certain certain lengths of how long they leave the hair when it does the cutting action. What is the end result? How long will the hair remain? What will its length be? And a number of zero is forbidden, of course, because they look basically bald. A number of one is forbidden. And I believe the number two is permitted, because the number two will leave over at least a half a centimeter, maybe a number three. I'm not exactly sure, but you have to leave over a half a centimeter in the area of the peyos harosh, because the Torah says you may not touch it. Loi sakifu peas roishchem. The person cuts two hairs in this area less than the size for it to bend over and fold over onto itself, which we assume to be approximately a half a centimeter, then he has violated an iser deraisa of removing the peyos harosh. Above the peyos harosh, you are permitted to go bald. You can take a razor, a real razor, and shave your head completely bald. No problem whatsoever. Your beard, you're not allowed to take a razor, but you could take a depilatory, a cream, or some type of ointment, which they would smear, which will completely remove the hairs. Or you could take scissors, you can cut very, very close. Or what many of us do, we're very, very lenient, you could take an electric shaver, because an electric shaver is not called a giluach sheyesh by hashchasa. It's not called a hashchasa if it's done through a scissor action. But the peyos, you're not allowed to do even that. You're certainly not allowed to apply a razor to completely remove it. And you're not even allowed to cut it in a scissor action if you're going to leave over that area less than a half of a centimeter. So the bottom line is there are really three parts to your head. Every head has three parts. There is the upper portion of the head. You're free, if you so wish, to take a razor and completely remove every hair down to zero. A giluach sheyesh b'hashchasa, that is permitted on the top part of the head. The lower part of your head, called the zokon, the beard, the zakan, the beard, that part, you can shave through scissor action. Scissor action is called yiluach she'ein boi hashchasa. But you're not allowed to remove yiluach she'yesh boi hashchasa, which means to put the blade against the skin itself. Then there is the middle section of the head, which is the most chomor. That section is called the peyos harosh. The Torah's terminology is lo sakifu. Do not remove it, because by removing it, you are then creating a circle. If you remove it, those two, that chunk, you see over here, then the hair on your head basically is one straight, complete circle. Do not do that. And that requires that you leave over all the hairs in that section at least a half a centimeter. Now that we've got that Hagdamah, now we have to define the exact location of the Teos HaRosh. Anything above you can remove with a razor, and anything below you can remove through scissor action very, very close. But in this area, you could use the scissors, but you have to make sure you leave over at least, each hair must be at least a half a centimeter. In this picture is the opinion of the majority of the Paiskim and Shulchan Aruch and the Nisei Kalim, and they understand that the halacha is, you look at the person's ear, it's very, very simple. You look at it and you have to go back, pull out of the album the picture that you had, picture of yourself when you were a child, when you were a young adult, when you had hair on your head, so you can define where your original hairline was, and you basically draw a line, like in this picture, going from the ear to the line to your forehead, the hair on your forehead. You draw a straight line. Anything above is not called the peyos. Anything below is the peyos. Okay, are we good with this? We're going to the next picture. Any comments? So make sure you're all with me. Are you with me? Mark, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go now to another picture. I'm going to try to turn it around very quickly. Just bear with me. What? Bear with me one more. Let's do now the next picture. Okay, the next picture. Yes.
The line has 2 points.
Correct. All the way.
How far do you bring those forward? The left hand.
Okay, so let me show you
the left,
all the way. Believe it or not, you look that picture that I showed you, that was the person's originally there. I have a whole book here on all the scenarios. You're asking a very good question. I have a picture, a book on all the various scenarios. Let me show you another picture. It's pretty serious. It's a pretty chomor. I'm going to show you another picture in one moment. I'm working on turning it upside down as we speak. How do we do this? Okay, I'm getting there. Okay, almost there. Got it. Done. Save. Back to Zoom. Share screen. Photo. File manager. Images. Camera. Select. Here we go. Okay, your question, Dr. Friedman, that's exactly your question. It's pretty, I was very surprised. I have to tell you the truth. It's not so clear. That's really the truth. In this picture, the mechaber is pretty chomor, machmir. He seems to say that it goes all the way from the top of the ear. It goes all the way as far as it can possibly go. There is no shear. And that means everything in that area, you can cut with the scissors, but you have to make sure that each hair is not cut less than a half a centimeter. Now, I do believe that even though this is, I have a whole sefer on this, and he doesn't say otherwise in the entire sefer. It's not just a big sefer. There are other opinions that hold it goes the length of 40 hairs, 40 hairs. Now, I honestly do not know how in the world you can calculate 40 years. In other words, from where it starts, in the middle of the ear, keep on going to the left in this picture, and count on your head the amount where it sprouts coming out of that area, 40 hairs, and that's where it stops. Okay, that is what the Olam says. Now, in this picture we have over here, this guy has. We get down to the bottom length. But notice in this picture, he looks like a briska. Why do I say it? It's very thick pears. They're thick. In this picture, do you notice how far down his pears are going? We're going to see now soon there are three opinions to the bottom boundary of the pears. This picture is the second opinion, which holds that it goes up until, but not including the earlobe. Bottom earlobe. You see how far it goes down in this picture? It goes all the way down, but the lobe, that soft flesh on the bottom of the ear, you notice has been shaved off. There's nothing there. Yet, to the left, he didn't shave. See, if I was shaving, I would make it nice and neat. I would... Whatever length you want your pears to go, however far you want your pears to go, but when it comes towards your nose and your cheek, you like to cut it straight. Where on the left side can you cut it straight? So again, this is not at all simple. According to many opinions, there is no shear. Whatever you accept to be the length of the pears, you have to go all the way, this goes all the way to the end. And this illustration on the top, it shows it going all the way to where this person once upon a time used to have hair. Other opinions hold no, it only goes 40 hairs in that direction. You have to make a calculation of what exactly is 40 hairs. I don't know how to make the calculation. And that's where it stops. And at that point, you're allowed to take a razor and cut it off all the way up against the flesh. There's no prohibition whatsoever. Okay, now let's discuss for a few moments the bottom level. There are three opinions of where the peyos end on the bottom. I'm going to go to the pictures. I'm going to find the picture that I want. And I'm going to... Okay. I found the picture. I'm going to edit it to turn it upside down. All right. Done. Save. Go back to Zoom. And we're going to upload a new picture. Hope you're not bored with this. Okay, I think this is what most of us do. Something very interesting. When Chazal say the word oizen, ear. In Chazal's terminology, oizen means the whole. The ear does not mean all the cartilage, the soft, the hard, the lobe. The terminology of the word oizen in Chazal's understanding is the whole of the ear. Now notice in this picture, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, this is where the peyos end. The peyos end at this point. Notice it's exactly in the center of the outer cartilage of the ear. You take the ear, what we call in our vernacular an ear, we refer to the ear with everything that it got, the hole, the cartilage, up top and the bottom, the lobe, the entire, all 9 yards. If you look at the ear from top to bottom and you draw a line smack down the center of the ear, that comes out, there's a bone. If you feel on your face, there's a bone right in that area, which happens to be exactly in the center of the ear. That is where the peyos harosh end. Thus, anything below that is not called a peyos harosh. And anything below that, you're allowed to shave. you're allowed to do a giluach sheyesh she'ein boy hashchasa. You can cut the hairs with scissor action, even if the result will be it will be less than a half a centimeter. Like you see this fellow here, this litvak in this illustration has his peis cut right at the center of the ear. Below that, he shaved. He removed it. He removed all the hair with either a machine, a scissor action, or the depilatory. The peis harosh itself remain. Each hair itself is at least a half a centimeter. And that would go up. Where would it go up into in this picture? If we were to be machmir and were to hold that there is no limit to the length, to the width of the peah, going in this illustration to the left, that means basically everything above, everything from the, if you were to draw a line, make believe in the, you have to draw a line from the top of the ear going to his forehead, where you see suddenly where the hair drops down. If you were to draw a line from the top of the ear until the hair that's growing at the edge of his forehead, that would be exactly what is included in the halacha of peyos harosh. Below that, you can take a shaver and remove it entirely, as long as it's not, the razor is not against the skin. Above it, you can take a razor all the way to the very, very top. But this area itself is what we call the peyos harosh. Now this,
there is that line relative to the bone.
That's on the bone.
The middle or the bottom of the bone?
I don't know exactly. I think it's on the bone. The bone is thick. The bone is very hard to define. It's thick. It's not so easy to define the bone. Everyone has a different sensation of feeling the bone and how the bone comes out and its point. The easier way to remember is where the hole begins. It's pretty much where the whole of the ear begins, and it's smack in the center of the height of the ear. Ear from top to bottom, right smack in the center, that is the bottom end of the peyos harosh. Now, there are two more opinions. Opinion number two in Shulchan Aruch says that it goes down, like I showed you in the previous picture. In the previous picture, it goes all the way down until the lobe. There's a hard part of the bottom of the ear and there's a soft part. The hard part of the bottom of the ear is the second opinion. The third opinion says, you got to be a real brisker for this, to go all the way down to the actual lobe itself. Now I'll show you a funny picture to illustrate this principle. I'm getting it right now. I'm getting this picture. You're going to laugh when you see this picture.
Rabbi, the picture you have up now,
yes,
is what we call the temporomandibular joint.
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Where the bone protrudes a little bit.
Okay. It protrudes a little bit. A little bit. Okay.
Right. That's the temporomandibular joint.
Okay. Here's a picture. This is not the picture that's funny. This is not a funny picture. This is just the picture I'm about to show you. This is just the extreme chumrah. This is, most people don't do this. Most do not do this. Some do it, but very, very, it's very rare to do what I'm about to show you. This is a very big chumrah. Not a very big chumrah, it's a chumrah. You see it on the screen? No, you don't see it. You don't see it on the screen. Sorry. Let's go back now to Zoom. Let's try this. Okay. You see this? This is the extreme bottom. This is the biggest chumrah. Here we're going down not to the middle of the ear, to the bottom of the ear. And in this example, again, the thickness, it can get very bizarre. You know, it can grow here, it can grow towards the nose. It can get very thick. People who let their peis grow who are machmir to keep the payas all the way down to that part of the ear, they would prefer to make it a straight line, you know, that it should not be thick. So that's the dilemma. It's not so clear what exactly is the thickness of the paya. And if we want to say there's a limit of 40 hairs, it's not so easy to count 40 hairs. You have to go take a specimen. Ask your neighbor. Maybe one day we'll lie down mayor on the table and we'll count the hairs along his ear to determine what exactly are 40 hairs going along the width of a person's face. Okay, so Lamaskan, we have three mahalchim in the length. One mahalach is, which was very, very common among us, we go to the center. The second opinion says that you should go down to the part of the ear that's hard, not the soft, lobe portion of the ear. You go down, I guess, like a little bit more than the hole. After the hole is over, there's another part of the ear that's hard. We conclude that in the ear. And then comes the soft lobe. That is not included in the length. And then there is the third opinion that takes us all the way down to the bottom of the lobe. Okay, so far we've gone the height. We've gone the upper portion, the lower portion, and the left portion. Now here is something that's very, very important. And this is a very, very big problem. And many people do not know this halacha. And even if they know the halacha, they don't believe it's the halacha. They refuse to accept this to be true. And they don't care. I'm telling you now, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very, very big, very, very big problem that, and unfortunately, if you go to a non-Jewish barber, or even a Jewish barber, who's not interested in listening, this is a very big problem. What is the innermost portion of the ear? Now, I don't think I have a picture. I'll look, but basically, it starts with the center of the ear, meaning along the center of the length of the ear, going down. Basically, everything from the paya to the right, in this illustration, to the right side, is included in the peyos harosh. So you'll say to me, Lamai, so what, who cares? What's the problem? The problem is, whenever you go to get a haircut by a real barber, a professional barber, they take their machine, they take their, I don't know what their machine is called, that machine which they use, you know, to you know, the trimmer, I guess it's called the trimmer, and they want to make the hair on the inside of the ear look nice. And they put the machine in between your peyos and your ear, and they cut it nice and round, and they cut a little bit on top of the ear to round it off so that it should look neat and beautiful. The problem is, when they do that, you're being over on an iser d'oraisa of loy sakifu pa'as roshchem. The iser d'oraisa is not to remove the entire thing. The iser d'oraisa is to cut even two hairs of this section. When they use the trimmer in that area, the hairs that they are cutting with the trimmer are less than a half a centimeter. It's not as good as a shaver, but there's no doubt about it that the result of the hairs that they cut in that area on top of the ear, moving down the side of the ear, along the inside of the paya, they're cutting with the trimmer. And the trimmer is cutting the hair very, very close to your skin. The result of the hairs that have been cut through the trimmer, when the barber goes in that area above the ear, in the center of the ear, moving down the side of the payas, is less than the size of a half a centimeter, less than the size of the ability of one hair to bend and fold on the other upon itself. That is an iser d'oraisa. So for a customer to tolerate, to allow the barber to do this, it's an iser d'oraisa. I always go to the same barber, and I always tell him for years, don't do it. Don't do it. He knows already with me not to do it, but sometimes I still have to remind him. And other people, from people, don't know this halacha, They don't tell him anything. He doesn't think. I tell him, you're not allowed to do it to anyone. Anyone that comes here, you're not allowed to put your trimmer in that area. You use the trimmer for the back, on the other side, the back of the ear going down, the whole back of the head. But this, or you want to make the payos, you want to make it straight, you want to like give a shave under on the bottom of the ear. You want to make it even, that's perfectly fine. But to put the trimmer in between the paya and the ear, in the section, the upper section that we hold to be the paya l'choladeus, anything above the middle of the ear going up until the middle of the ear, down the length of the ear, that is all called part of the paya sarosh, and it is forbidden to take to cut a hair there, even with a scissors, if it's so close that the hair will be less than a half a centimeter. You're not allowed to do it. You can cut it with a scissors. You can cut it as long as you don't cut it so close. But to cut it with the trimmer, which by definition is going to cut it up against the skin, is categorically forbidden. A barber who is a shomer Torah u'mitzvos knows this and would never do it. Unfortunately, many of the barbers that we go to in our community are either non-Jews or are not religious Jews, and they don't know this halacha. They're not aware of this fact. It's interesting that
In the picture, the way it's cut, is it's not close. It looks like it's close, or it's done with a scissor.
You can't really see anything in this picture. This is not a real picture. It's a computer-generated picture. But the idea is, you're not allowed to do it. It's not, it can be done with the scissors, but it cannot be done with the machine. Now let me see if I have over here a picture to show you, to give you a better illustration of the exact location. I'm looking here now at the pictures to see if I have here what I want. Let me see, is this the picture that I'm looking at? One second, no. So you know, I have the book here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture right now. I have a very good picture here. In the book, I'm going to take a picture right now as I speak to you, and I'm going to put it up because this picture captures exactly what I want to bring out. Okay, there's a lot of glare here. I have to go to a different table to take the picture. Okay, let me put it on Zoom. Okay, here it is. This is a great picture. Okay, there's some glare. I got some glare in the picture. But this picture really illustrates. It really does illustrate the. It illustrates the halacha. This picture shows you the uppermost portion of the peya and the edge on the left. The edge on the left, la halacha, starts from the center of the ear going down. Now there's usually nothing there. Okay, there's nothing there. But anything in between the ear and where the hair grows is included in the prohibition of the peya, which means you're not allowed to cut a hair in that area less than a half a centimeter. Now if you hold half a centimeter is too long, so maybe it's less than half a centimeter. Maybe it's even less, but it's certainly more than what a razor would cut in that area or what a trimmer would cut in that area. So you have to be very, very careful not to allow the barber to take the trimmer and to put the trimmer in that area between those lines, anything along the ear itself, and even on top of the ear until you get to the center of the ear. That has to be cut by scissors. And even the scissors, it should be careful. Usually it's not going to go with scissors. Usually it's never going to happen. You're going to cut so close. When a barber uses scissors, the mitzvah says the scissors do not cut all less than the shear. So anything that he cuts with a pair of scissors is almost always safe. But if he puts a trimmer, it's not. A trimmer will cut the hair less than the shear. It's not going to be a clean, neat cut, because that you need a shaver. But the trimmer will definitely cut it less than the shear of Kedei Lachuf, Sar, Al Reishai. And that's why that area, you're not allowed to let the barber put the machine in that area. Again, like I told you, a lot of barbers don't know this. A lot of the non-Jewish barbers, they don't know. You start telling them, they get all worked up, and you're alone, you tell them what to do, don't tell them how to do my video, my thing, go somewhere else. They get all worked up. The firm Jewish barbers, they know this. You don't know. Then there are barbers that are in the middle. You know, they want to listen. They don't want to listen. And there's no excuse to say, I'm not doing it. He's doing it. The guy is doing it. I'm just sitting here. It's clearly not true. A person puts himself in a chair and allows this to happen. That is a very serious issue. It's a very serious halachic issue. It is, I saw, yeah. On the back? No, anything on the back is mutter. Anything in the front is also correct. Anything in the front should only be cut with scissors up until the center. Scissors. Anything that a barber cuts with this pair of scissors will almost never be less than the shear of the length of the hair. Anything that he cuts, yeah.
Also the half and the rule is also the half and the center, right?
Approximately. I don't know exactly what it is. It's approximately maybe even less. It's approximately a half a centimeter. The hair has to be approximately half a centimeter. It could be that it has to remain a little bit. You don't need that much. It can remain even a little bit less than a half a centimeter. But there is a shiur that it has to be significant where you could like grip onto it. You can grip onto it and you can even actually fold it over. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the maskana we have over here, five different parts of the pants. The uppermost portion, the lowermost portion, the leftmost portion, the rightmost portion, and the length of the hair itself. The length of the hair of the peah should be enough for it that a person can grab onto it and can fold it to some degree. What is the exact measurement in numbers? Not so simple to know. They say they write over here approximately something a little bit less than a half a centimeter. When they use the machines, they refer to a number two. Zero is nothing, there's a one, a two, something in that range. Two is okay, it's on the borderline. Three already is for sure good. That's already very long. Three is for sure good. Anything in this area, that's the length of the ear. The uppermost portion is you draw a line from the top of the ear to your natural hair line that you had when you were a child. You draw a line. Anything below that line is the uppermost portion. What's the bottommost portion? Three opinions. Most of us take the mainstream opinion. It goes until the center of the ear. There's a second opinion, Shulchan Aruch, that says that it goes down to the bottom of the ear, and only including the cartilage area of the ear, not the lobe. And then there's a third opinion that says that it goes all the way down to the lobe, the softer part. What is the leftmost portion of the ear? Not so clear. Many hold it goes all the way. Any hair that grows in that area should not be cut less than a half a centimeter. Others say no, it only extends from where it starts. 40 years, 40. How do you measure 40 years? I really don't know. I don't know where that number comes from, but that's what it says. And then what is the innermost portion, the rightmost portion? So you have an illustration in this picture where you see this line that goes straight down from the center of the ear, straight down, that's the innermost portion. Anything above this, the peis, you can take a razor blade on your head and clean off all your hair, no problem. Anything below the peis, you can do a giluach, you can shave very, very, very close to a teeny, teeny amount like we do, provided that it's not called a maisa hashchasa. A maisa hashchasa, for us, we are very nagel. We hold the mean as long as the razor does not touch the flesh. our shavers. The razor is not touching the flesh. It's cutting against another piece of metal, a screen, scissor, action, it's motor. And the payas itself, can be, the Torah does not use the term giluach. The Torah is much more machmir. It may not be removed. Sakifu, and the halach and Shulchan Aruch, it says it's a violation. Even if you take off two hairs, people make a mistake and think, what's the big deal? I will heal, I will hear. The Isser is only if I remove it entirely. There should be nothing left. That is incorrect, 100% incorrect. The Isser deraisa is even to take out two hairs from this area. The hairs have to remain in the full shear of a hair, which is, like we said, a number two, a little bit less than 2 centimeters. So this is pretty much all the basic yisoides of the peyos, harosh, lahalacha, the shiurim, and the different makaymas. I'll just tell you a little, just interesting things. Baba Sali, Mary posted this morning that today is the yard site of the father of Baba Sali. Baba Sali did not have a beard until he was 40 years old. It did not grow. Okay, I have no idea how this is possible, but he had enormous, enormous agmas nefesh that he did not have a beard. He had an unusual chavivos. Every person, you know, there are certain things that mean a lot to people. To me, I don't, that's not about me, but like, I don't get it. But there are certain people that had an enormous chavivos for a beard. He did not have a beard, it caused him grief. And he was always misfollow. And later in his life, he never had a big beard. You see the picture of Baba Sali, it's very, very meek, very, very small, but later in life, when he was 40 years old, a beard grew to some degree. And he held that a beard is a portion of the Tzura Sa'adam. It's a portion of what makes a person his ikar, Tzura of who he is. You know, in Eretz Yisrael there was a makubal, a Sfardi, a pandari. The Munkach Rebbe, he went to visit him. He was a Rebbe Kanoi. He was a very big Kanoi. And he would not be mitzarev to a minyan, anyone that did not have a beard. How do you like that? Isn't that spooky? He did not allow anyone to come to his minyan, to daven, to be mitzarev to a minyan of 10 people if he did not have a beard. What was his name? His name was a very holy person. The Minchas Elozer, not him, but the Minchas Elozer went to visit this person at great mysterious Asaba Kadisha Rabbi Eliezer Al Pandari, I think his name was Al Pandari. He was a very, very holy person. I think the Minchas Elozer held that he was Mashiach. He was a Svardi, and the Minchas Elozer, the Munkach Rebbe, he was Moiser Nefesh to come visit him, the Sof Yomav. And there's a diary written describing the entire journey and the conversation they had, their meetings, what happened, and this, when he went back. It's very, very, very bizarre. It's a very strange. Why would the Munkach Rebbe, how did he even know about him? How did he know about him? He knew about him, and why would he want to see him? And they had a very interesting relationship. And he was a very, very holy person. And this person was very, very makbid on the beard. Ad kdei kach, that he did not allow a person that did not have a beard to join in his minyan, and that was at great expense, because there were not too many people in that time where he lived that could have been part of his minyan, and even so, he refused. There are certain people that have very, very great sensitivities to these things. The Pele Yoyetz, I never heard this before, he says that a person should never, not never, but should try very, very hard not to get a haircut by a non-Jew. You should get a haircut only by a Jew. Now, this simply would mean, I think there's even a Gemara that talks about this, is because the guy will kill the Jew. It was a sakana. In ancient times, when you go to a barber, you know, you're sitting at his chair, and this guy has a knife to your throat. You know, he's giving you a haircut, he's trimming your beard, he can kill you. And who's going to know about it?
That's a Gemara.
So yet, the Pele Yoyetz writes that even today, where we don't feel this to be a real threat, And even if you're confident that the barber is not going to kill you, I don't know, what are the statistics in America? How many times in America do we find that a barber murders one of his clients? Okay, I don't remember hearing about this too often, that a guy sitting in by the barber chair, the barber decided to go all the way, not just to cut off his beard, but to cut off his head. I haven't heard about these type of stories. I haven't heard about these stories, but the Pele Yoitz writes that Al Pi Kabbalah, it's not a good thing. The beard has sanctity, which we don't appreciate. We're not from these type of people that have a sensitivity towards these things. But there were people out there. There are people out there that do have sensitivity to. Okay, Chabad, they do things not because they have the sensitivity towards it. They do because that's what they do. That's what they do. But there is a certain sanctity that is present in the beard and in the end of hair, and the hair as well, and it demands that a Jew should not take a haircut by a non-Jew. Forget about the sakana, because today there really is no sakana. It's just a Kabbalistic principle. It's not healthy for your neshama, for a non-Jew, to be cutting your hair. I never heard this until yesterday, but that's what it says. It says such a thing. In this neighborhood, it's not so easy to find a Jew that's a barber. There are here and there. In Lakewood, they're all Jews. It's a big business. In Lakewood, I know all the barbers are Jews. They're all from Jews, and they know all the halachas, and it's a different type of business. Okay, what else did I want to tell you? I just want to tell you, other thing is that this really just goes back to yesterday, is that even though we hold l'halacha l'maisa, that when it says in the Torah that a giluach sheyesh boi hashchosa, it means the blade must make contact with the skin. It appears that not everyone agrees to that. That's why there are many people today, we mentioned yesterday, there are many people that hold that it's not a good idea to shave. And as we mentioned from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says that it's not really, not a chumrah. It's dvarim sheyesh by mamish, and it's a serious matter not to make light of. And for those people that are machmir, not to shave, tovoy aleihem bracha. And that's because they understand that giluach sheyesh boi hashchasa is not dependent on a blade touching your skin. I kept on differentiating between a blade touching your skin versus a blade touching another blade, scissor action. A shaver are two blades touching one another and cutting the hair in between, even though the hair is going to be less than the size of it being held and folding over. The Nemuke Yosef, on his perush on Nemuke Yosef and other Rishonim, they openly say that a hashchos that a giluach sheyesh boi hashchosa is any type of cutting where the hair is less than the size of the hair folding over on itself. In other words, scissor action doesn't save you anything. Scissor action, just because the hair, you're cutting one hair against the other with a scissor, doesn't make a difference. If the end of the day, the hair is less than the size of what we call the shi'ur of a se'ar, play on the words. At the end of the day, if the hair is less than a half a centimeter, that automatically is called a giluach sheyesh boi hashchasa. So then you'll ask, what then is the nafkamina between the peos haroish and the beard? The nafkamina is a depilatory. According to the Nemuke Yosef, according to Meir Rishonim, the only difference between the beard and the peos haroish is, are you allowed to use a sam, some type of an ointment or depilatory to melt and destroy the hair on the beard, if it's the peos haroish, no, nothing. There is nothing you can possibly do to remove the hair, even using a depilatory, because the pasuk says, "Loi sakifu pas roishchem." the beard. You can remove the hair, provided that it's not done through a giluach, through an act of giluach sheyesh boy hashchasa. So we, us amongst us who do shave, understand that to mean as long as it's not done with the blade cutting against the skin. If it's done with scissor action, it's mutter. Other Rishonim say no. Even if you do a scissor action, but you cut the hair so small that it no longer has the shear for it to bend over, that's also forbidden. And by the way, who's the one that says this? The Bach. The Bach is the opinion that says this. Now, you know, the Bach is a person that we want in our camp. Because the Bach is the one who says, is basically the only one that says, that Bizman Hazeh, we are permitting Chutz the Aretz to eat Chodosh. Most of us are not makbid on eating Yoshan. We eat without any hesitation after Pesach, Chodosh. Pesach is easy, I'm talking Sukkot time, after the summer. We eat the whole year round, Chodosh. Who is the one that was matir? The Bach. The Bach is matir. The Bach is very, very lenient. He went up and against almost all of his chaverim, all of the commentators who hold that it is osur in chutz la'aretz bizman hazeh to eat chodosh. It is categorically forbidden. The Bach holds that it is. The Bach holds that it is mutter, and we rely upon the Bach. Yet it's the very same Bach that says that it is categorically forbidden to do a giluach, to shave on your beard with a instrument, even a scissors, if you're going to go so close that at the end of the day, the hair is less than the size of a hair. That's what the Bach holds. That would basically mean that we're not allowed to shave. And the only thing that we can do in that area of the face would be to use an ointment to melt away the hair. However, we do not follow the Bach in this regard. We pick and choose. We pick and choose the Bach for Chodosh, but we completely ignore him when it comes to the laws of shaving. The Bach would not allow us to shave. Now, what about Rav Moshe Feinstein also? People, they love to pick and choose chumers. Rav Moshe has a lot of kulas, and everyone is enamored by all the kulas of Rav Moshe. Yet when it comes to the chumers of Rav Moshe, no one is interested. Now, by the way, there's a discussion about the Ramami Pano. Is it a good thing to shave? So there's a discussion that the Ramami Pano was a very big mekumel. He was a very, very holy person. And the Ramami Pano seemingly did shave. Now, not with an electric shaver, but he used scissors very, very close to shave his beard. So we see that in ancient times, not everyone was so makbid on having a beard. There were people that didn't. People that indeed did not have it. I'm going to finish up. I have a few more things I want to tell you. I just want to go finish up another 10 minutes. I want to finish up all the different things on shaving because I just want to finish up this topic. I have just a few more short things to share with you, and a few more pictures to show you about the corners of the beard. Okay, another interesting thing about a beard is why. What's the reason? What's the lumdis, the prohibition, the tameh hamitzvah, why we are not supposed to shave? So there are different reasons. Some say that it's called gilu. Why is a priest in our vocabulary called a galach? A galach. So some want to suggest is because the galachim, the goyim, would shave. The difference between the Jews and the non-Jews is the goyim would shave. The reason why we call him a priest is because he was clean shaven. Father is always clean shaven. Watch television, and when they're addressing father, he's always perfectly clean shaven. The rabbi always has a sloppy beard. That's the difference. So when we shave, what we're doing when we're shaving is we are going in the chukos ha'amim. Now, I told the Rebbe Mayevsky, I'm telling you what it says in the Sfarim. Rabbi Mayevsky says that it's not necessarily true. I came across something in this Sfarim that explains the reason why the goyim would shave is because they would make idols in their own image. There were certain people who were idolized. The pharaohs, okay, or other people, they made them into idols, into gods. Then they would want to put their image into stone. It's very, very difficult to make an idol that has a beard. They did not have the technology of the American dream girl. What is it? What do they call those dolls?
Well, every single pharaoh had a beard.
Okay, so it must be they were the exception. It could be they were the exception, the pharaohs in Egypt. But in ancient gods, they would make an idol in the tzura of a human being, but it was complicated to add to the idol a beard. So what's the problem here? If this stone is really a god, why can't it grow a beard? Why can't it be like a person? So in order that it should not, they should cover up the fraud that the stone is not really a god, they went the other way around. They said, you know what? Let the people who are being idolized, let them also shave off their facial hair. So now that the pesel will look just like, there shouldn't be any difference between the person and the actual stone. They went backwards. Because it was such a complex process to go adhere to a stone idol, they say, you know what, let the idol be without the beard. And in order to make everyone the same, we'll have the priest or the god, that the human being that we worship, we'll tell him to shave off his facial hair so that everyone will be the same. Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, this is brought down in many Sfarim, that a priest... yes?
I'm not so sure about this. I thought the problem of the priest was the haircut, not the shave. The haircut with the bowl cut, which eliminates everything around the ears. I thought that was the style that we were not allowed to copy.
That's the peyos. There are two parts. All right, you're right. I don't know. I don't know. It seems there maybe both. It could be there are two different issues. I'm not exactly sure. I told you
what last week what the Abba Ben El said is very interesting. It doesn't fit in with anything really, that the whole idea of not shaving your beard is not to look like a woman.
Oh, that's another issue, another time given. Another reason given is the reason why people would shave their beard was they want to look like women. It's a subcategory of lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Then there's a third reason given by some of the, I think Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's a Rishon. He's a Rishon, his name is Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he gives a third reason is the Tamei HaMitzvah, not to look like a ganaf. It seems that the reality is, if you shave off your beard, it's harder to recognize who you are. If you know someone, if everyone in our shir would have a beard, we would be able to notice each other even in the middle of the night when it's pitch black dark. Somehow, the way the beard grows on each person adds to our ability to identify who you are. It enhances the tzuras haponim, the uniqueness of the tzuras haponim. We know as a fact that there are no two people in this world that look alike, and we can tell them apart. But it's harder to tell everyone apart when they shave off their beard. If everyone completely shaves off their beard and shaves off their peos, and you're completely bald, it'll take you an additional 10 seconds or 5 seconds to identify who this person is relative to someone else. When a person has a beard, this is the reality. A beard changes the tzuras haponim. Your person's image is enhanced, is changed through having a beard. Ganovim, professional ganovim, we're not looking for trouble. We're not looking to be noticed. When they put up a big sign, the 10 most wanted in the United States, and on the picture, the fellow... Okay, and the fellow on the picture has a beard, and now he does not have a beard, or let's say he never had a beard to begin with, and they put up a picture of a person without a beard, the reality is it's much more difficult to identify, to differentiate between people that do not have beards. It's a reality. That's the way it is. Therefore, when a person shaves off his beard, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, he's attempting to look like, to be like a ganav. Okay, that's a chiddush. He's trying to go in the ways of the ganavim. So the halacha, there are three different reasons why we're moving up the tameh mitzvah. Number one is not to be like the goyim, because the goyim do this. Number two is not to be like noshim. And number three is not to be like ganavim. Now, one thing I never did with you, I want to show you, is what are the corners of the beard. So let me put on the screen. I'm going to put it because it's taking much too long. I'm just going to put on the screen upside down, okay? Upside down, you'll forgive me, upside down. The different opinions on what are the corners. We learned yesterday there are five corners. There are five corners of the beard. What are the five corners that you're not allowed to cut? Now, by the way, you're not allowed to cut on these corners to Cyrus. If we were to be able to identify with clarity what the five corners are on a person's face, you would be permitted to remove the facial hair everywhere besides those five corners with a razor. But being that there are so many opinions as to exactly what are the five corners of the face, that's why we are machmir, not to lift up to our face a razor under any condition. So let me show you upside down a few different opinions as to what is the five corners of the face. Here we go to the camera. Okay, here is, I want to just keep track what I'm showing you because it's hard to see, it's so small. Here is number one. Okay, let's see if you can see this. Okay, it's upside down, but notice there are, notice one corner is the edge of where the peyos harosh end. Where the peyos harosh end, that's the corner where the peyos of the zokon begin. The next one, if you notice, it's hard to see because upside down, is by the mouth. Okay, it's by the tip of the mouth. The tip of the mouth is this, that's already two. Two on one side, two on the other side. And where's the fifth corner? This is very interesting. The throat. So to take a razor to the throat, this is a violation of the corners. Who's the one that says this opinion? This is Rabbeinu Chananya. The Shita of Rabbeinu Chananya. Okay, he's a Rishon. Rabbeinu Chananel? I can't even read what it says here. No, Rabbeinu Chananya says. Rabbeinu Chananya. This is his opinion. He is the reason why we don't use a razor even for the mustache. Because he holds two of the corners of the pas zokon are in the two edges of the mouth, which basically are the edge of the mustache. According to Rabbeinu Chananya, the only place you can really shave with a razor would be, the center of the mustache. But this is his unique opinion. There are two unique things about Rabbeinu Chananya. He holds the fifth corner is the throat, and two of the corners are the edge of the mouth. Okay, now, let's go to other opinions. Let me put up on the screen another opinion. Okay. This is, it's hard for me to read. Okay, let's see this opinion. Okay, this is a different opinion. I can't see what it says. It's too small for me. See the Hamasman. They say whose sheet this is. Doesn't say whose opinion this is. I don't know which one of the Rishonim this is. This opinion holds that the bottom corner is the chin, and the other two are the very bottom of the ear, go all the way down to the ear, the cheek, the very bottom of the cheek, and something on the tip of the chin. There are three corners on the chin, and there are two corners along the edge of the cheekbone, opposite the ear. I'll show you another opinion. we this is similar to Rabbeinu Chananya. This opinion says not the throat, but the chin. The chin. Okay, the chin, that's the fifth. And then the other two are the cheek. Not the cheek, I'm sorry. Where the peyos harosh end and along the edge of the cheek. There are more opinions. I'll show you one more opinion. Maybe let's see one more opinion. Okay, basically you got the basic idea. All there are different opinions, all the different edges. The different edges of the face are the different possibilities, pathways. Okay, let me just see if I have anything I want to just conclude with. Okay, just to conclude with just some other short things. When you take a haircut, it's cited in many sefarim, when you cut your hair, it brings upon your body a degree of tumah. And therefore, many do not know this, but it is proper lahalacha that after you get a haircut to wash your hands. Today anyway, because of the world we live in, you're not going to have a choice anymore, you have to wash your hands. But al pi halacha, there is an inyan of washing your hands after you get a haircut, because by cutting your hair, you bring upon your body a certain degree of spiritual contamination. It's interesting that a beard, a person is not born with a beard. You first grow the beard. And as you get older, it changes colors. It changes from black to gray to white. It's a fascinating thing. It's something which it changes with you as you go through life. When you enter this world, you got nothing. As you get older, you get a nice, thick, black beard. Get a little bit older, it turns a little gray. Gray is just really a mixture of white, a little white and black. And then as you get older, it turns pure white. There are different shades of white. Pristine white. And then you see that zikanim, as they get older, the beard falls out. A person who's very, very old does not have the same beard as a young person. The beard, it thins out. You can tell how old a person is, usually, just by looking at the beard. Looking at the beard, the color of the beard, the quality, the thick, the density, there's probably already an app, right? There's probably an app out there where you take a picture and the app can scan, study the color and density of the beard. And from that alone, it can figure out a person's age. That's a very fascinating thing, because you don't have that. Where else do you have that in life? A mark on your body that you can use to identify where in life you're holding. Person, you know, the person's clean shaven, it depends. It's very hard to tell how old he is. You look at people who are clean shaven, you can't really tell. You want to go tell by the creases on their skin, their eyes. There are certain identification marks by analyzing a person to determine how old he is. It's true, there definitely are things, but a beard is much more prominent in defining who you are. There's something very mystical, very deep about a beard, in the fact that you're not born with it. It comes as when you become an adult, it's part of the simani gadlus. And as you go through life, it changes with you. It's also very interesting that in Shulchan Aruch, why should this be so? A shliach tzibur, a person that you select to be the shliach tzibur on the yamim noiroim, ideally should have a beard. Why? Who cares? You'll tell me because he's not Machben, he's not Yerushalayim, because he shaves, it's the Davar Chamor, so we'll use a depilatory. Let's say you have a person that uses a depilatory. It's mutter lechatchila to use a depilatory to remove the hair on the face. There's absolutely no violation whatsoever. It's only forbidden to be a giluach. A giluach sheyesh boy hashchasa. Okay, you want to go and define, you want to have a big machlokes. How do you want to define the term a giluach sheyesh boy hashchasa? But everyone agrees, if it's a giluach she'ein boy hashchasa, it's mutter. So, or a giluach she'ein boy hashchasa, and that it would include that if it's not a giluach altogether, yet he is not the ideal candidate to lead us in prayer on the Yomim Noraim. Why? Zelo fear. There's something that, why should we discriminate against a person who doesn't have a beard? Obviously, there's a lot more to a beard than we appreciate. There's something about a beard that's very spiritual. It's symbolic. Yosef HaTzadik was only able to pull off the whole thing that happened when the brothers came and they were standing right in his presence and they didn't recognize this is their brother? Rashi says, that's right, they didn't recognize. Because when he left them, Yosef did not have a beard. Uboloi b'chasima zokon. And now he has a beard. So because the last time they saw their brother, he did not, and now he did, that blinded them in not realizing that this was their very own brother. It's a little strange, no? It's a little shocking, such a chazal, that the beard made such a difference in not being able to recognize who he was. Obviously, there's so much in chazal about a beard, the three parts of the head, and how a beard plays out in halacha, in agada, in the tzuras aponim, in the fact that it changes colors over life, and all that we've learned and discussed, we should be zoiche to, it says by Aaron HaKoyen, Aaron was anointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says that the Shemen HaMishcha hid itself in the folds of his beard. It hid itself. Obviously, there's something about the Shemen HaMishcha that had a connection to the beard. Okay, with that, we will conclude. I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to this long shiur about beards. We spent 2 days on it. I'm very pleased. I wanted to learn about it. I never knew these things. This picture book, I find to be an eye-opener. And it says it the way it is. And it's something to learn from. Have a wonderful day. Be well to all of you.
Have a good day, Shkayach.
Have a good day, Shkayach.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, Rabbi Levine.
Thank you.
Hair on your head, everybody.
Bye, Mark.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, yes. Yes.
It's Mark Hirschman.
Yes,
how
yes, yes. Baruch Hashem, how are you?
So, Baruch Hashem, so my yichas, you mentioned the Munkat Jeruv, the Minister of Lazar.
Yes.
My paternal grandfather, that's where my family's from. He was a Ben Bias to the Minchas Olazar.
Wow. You have any good stories?
Unfortunately, no. But you mentioned this Maisa with this
Saba Kadisha. The Saba Kadisha. You went to visit him.
You have. There's a book.
That yes.
Speaks about
Art Scroll has translated the book. I have it. Do I have it at home? Did I give it away to someone? I once bought it. Art Scroll actually published. It's a short book in Hebrew that describes, it's like a diary of this very bizarre journey by the Munkat Sharebi to the Saba Kadisha and everything that they discussed. And it was translated by Art Scroll into a very nice, you know, it's a small volume, it's not too thick, not too many pages. And I purchased it, I read it. I have it at home or I gave it to someone. Someone wanted it, I have it. I will look for it. Believe me, I'll look for it.
I'm curious. You know, I don't know if it's still there, but at one point, if you typed in YouTube had a